In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. In our last episode, when we discussed the breastplate of righteousness, one of God's armor readily available for us to use against the foe, the enemy, Satan, we simplified righteousness as being right with God, in the eyes of God, according to the measures of God. And again, now, for the sake of simplifying the simplified, we read of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, in Luke chapter 1 verse 6, that they were both righteous before God, because before men they were cursed. Elizabeth was cursed because she couldn't bear a child. But before God they were righteous. Why? Because they were walking in all the commandments and in the judgments of the Lord God without blame. So our series are concentrated on how to avoid Satan taking a foothold. This is the third section, or the third part, part three. Our scripture reference is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. And in this episode, we will focus on yet more, actually two more armors or weapons of God for us to use in our battle, in our challenge, in our strive against the foe, the enemy being Satan. In verse 15, St. Paul encourages us to shod our feet, which is in the Aramaic version. Shod. Now, the shodding of feet is when a horse is fitted with shoes or shoe. Now, you've seen when a horse's shoe is replaced, they are grinded. The actual hoof is scraped and grinded and cleaned. And when the shoe is fitted on, it is actually nailed in. Enforced and reinforced, so that we don't have that image or understanding that you're just merely putting on flip-flops or just slippers or just putting on some shoes very casually. The term shodding means, that means reinforce your feet to be prepared, to be ready of the gospel of peace. Prepared, ready for what? Of the gospel of peace, to proclaim the gospel of peace to others. As Isaiah proclaims in chapter 52, verse 7, how beautiful are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that proclaims peace. And when you're proclaiming the peace, the first person you are affecting, or when you're proclaiming the gospel of peace or the gospels or the good news of Jesus Christ, the first person, the first heart, the first mind that you are affecting is your own. So, you know, when you proclaim the peace, you are either encouraged because you are in that gospel of peace, or you're rebuked because your life and your words are contrary to the gospel. So then you will correct yourself. And if you're right, you will continue. And in that way, you will avoid giving Satan a foothold. Which peace? The gospel of peace. Not war. Peace. The peace that Christ himself, praise and glory be to his name. Now, every time you hear me praising the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, I won't be able to hear you, but I want to challenge you to say amen. So, the peace that Christ, praise and glory be to his holy name, left us in John chapter 14, verse 27. as Christ himself says, my peace I give to you. It is not as the world gives that I give to you. We see the peace of the world today, right? We see what's happening, you know, and there's peace is thrown. The word peace is so casually thrown out there, but you cannot understand true peace unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that is the peace that St. Paul is encouraging us to shut our feet, to stand firm, and to ready to proclaim that peace. It is the peace of Christ, according to Bishop Caesarius of Arles, which was a city in France, mid-4th century to mid-5th century. He goes on to say, it is the peace of Christ that indeed is serenity of mind, tranquility of soul, simplicity of heart, the bond of love, the fellowship of charity. It removes hatred, the peace of Christ. It settles wars, the peace of Christ that is in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It restrains wrath, tramples on pride. There's one of the armors of Satan that he shoots at us, the arrows of Satan, pride. The peace of Christ loves the humble, soothes the conflict, and makes enemies to agree. The only time the enemies can agree is only when they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is, praise and glory be to his name, the Prince of Peace. So we are also, when we are prepared to proclaim, we are also prepared and ready to be focused to the path that the gospel of peace will lead us to, which is eternal life. Now, this we can accomplish if we live righteously as the gospel commands us to do, because our feet and the paths they tread symbolizes our life on earth. As St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, he proclaims this prior to the scripture references we are using for our topic, which is avoiding Satan taking a foothold. He writes, see therefore that you walk honorably, walk, not as the fools, but as the wise, who redeem their opportunities, because the days, that is life on earth, are evil. So when we're talking about walking, it means our life on earth, how we conduct our lives on earth. And when we do this, it indicates that we have a willing heart and the readiness of doing good deeds. And now these good deeds Christ looks closely at. When we read Psalms chapter 10, verses 17, you have heard the hope of the poor, O Lord God, and your ear has heard the preparation of the heart. When the heart is ready for good deeds, for charity, for holiness, for morality, Christ looks closely at that. If we occupy ourselves with good deeds, then according to the Blessed Theophylact, we will be alert to and be turned off the evil deeds that the devil prepares in a roundabout manner, covering his wickedness and by making his suggestions seem plausible to cause us to commit these very sins. We spoke this and we quoted this last episode. But then Paul goes on to say that above all of this, referring to the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes, the sandals and leggings of readiness for gospel, above all that, we are to take up the shield of faith. See, first and foremost is faith. Now, not a faith that merely proclaims and believes that God is true, not that simple faith, but that rather such a determined faith that makes a man believe in future events as though they have already happened. See, we want the kingdom of heaven. We are eagerly waiting for the day of the Lord, the great and awesome and fearful and awful and majestic day of the Lord, when he returns to grant his eternal kingdom to his church and the righteous ones. When we have hope in God and believe in God while we live on this earth, and we are committed to God's commandments, we do have a strong relationship with God, meaning prayer, fasting, reading the scriptures, reading the lives of the holy saints, participating in the church and the sacramental life of the church. It's as though we're living in the kingdom of heaven. We're already living. This is the faith that we need to take up. This is the shield of faith. It's a faith that works signs and wonders, a faith that is so on fire that it can move mountains, even though it's as small as a mustard seed. Yet within that mustard seed, the whole being of that tree is concealed. That faith that has fruits to glorify God, and with it to take on the enemy and to overcome and become victorious and to defeat the enemy, not allowing him to take a foothold in our life. Such a faith is that faith that is put in practice for the sole purpose of glorifying God. You know, one person asked me, do you love God because he has promised you the kingdom of heaven? Do you love the Lord because you fear him, because there is an awful judgment awaiting? Do you love God because of the gracious provisions that he has given you? Do you believe in him because of what he's going to give you? Well, a part of it is, but the integral part of faith is that through it, I glorify God. I glorify God by partaking in his salvific plan, which was wrought on the cross through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I glorify God through such a faith that possesses actions that grant us the gracious gift of partaking in all that Christ Jesus completed, perfected, and accomplished during his entire ministry on earth, which concluded with at the cross, and it continues in the resurrection and the ascension. This is only, beloved, through the sacramental life of the church, and not merely just believing in God. We're going to talk about this. So faith in God and its produce being the good deeds guards the entire soul of a man from the attacks of the demon and also the possessions of the world. You know, it's just like you holding a shield in one hand in front of your body to protect your body from the blows of the enemy, from the arrows, from the stones. It's just like the iron gates, the iron doors, that when they shut out the enemy, the foe. So is the shield of faith. We talk about what type of faith. And with this, St. Paul confirms that we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. With a shield of faith, he writes, you will be able to extinguish all evil desires, thoughts of unbelief, and blasphemies by which the devil violently attacks you when he asks, is there really a resurrection? Is there indeed a judgment? Is it really a sin to do 1, 2, 3, 4? Do you really grieve the Holy Spirit of God when you are disobedient to God? Is there really a kingdom of heaven? Is there really hell? Is there a God? You know, these are the fiery arrows that Satan, or the darts that Satan casts upon us. So to recap what we have been speaking thus far, what we have learned, and I pray that we have begun to put in practice, To avoid giving Satan a foothold is to put on the armor of God. We spoke about the belt of truth, the truth of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So to recap what we have learned thus far, and I pray that you've begun to put in practice, to avoid giving Satan a foothold is to put on the armor of God. And Paul emphasizes all of the armor of God, not just one, not multiple choice, all. He began with the belt of truth, the truth of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the holy sacred scriptures, aka Bible, the truth of the one holy and apostolic and Catholic universal complete church, which entails her faith, her doctrine, her teachings, her liturgy, and her sacraments. The truth of the resurrection of our bodies and to life forever and ever. Amen. We are told to put on the breastplate of righteousness, being right with God in the eyes of God, according to God's standards and measures. We can sum up the breastplate of righteousness according to the Blessed Theophylact, the virtuous way of life in its entirety. That means ethics, manners, morals, etiquette, according to God's standards and not man. Not the norm, not Hollywood, not laws, not legislations, not the liberty that is so misused today in the world. And today we learn that we are to shod our feet with the gospel of peace and to take on the shield of faith. We have no excuse. Beloved, let us not, those who've heard these three episodes thus far, listen to what I'm going to tell you. This is alarming, but I must say it. You have no excuse anymore. There is no, from this point onwards, there is no excuse for our unacceptable, inappropriate ethics, manners, morals, etiquettes. There is no excuse for our immorality. There is no excuse for our ill manners. We cannot blame Satan. The finger must be pointed at ourselves because we enjoy the life that we are living in and the possessions of the world. We enjoy fulfilling the desires, the evil desires of our flesh. We enjoy living a life of debauchery because there is no excuse because Satan should have no power whatsoever. Now, I'm not saying that Satan will give up. Satan will intensify. So since you've heard these three episodes, and if you're going to say to me, Rabbi or Father, but it's worse now. The temptations are even worse. Praise God, you're on the right path. But don't let down your guard. Don't misuse the armors. Don't neglect the armor of God that we have and that we've discussed. Put them in practice. Hold on to the shield of faith. Walk in the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Ask the Lord, pray to the Lord, make me right before your eyes. Make me right according to your standards and your measures. Because there is no more excuses. You know, when we complain that we haven't heard the gospel, it is a legitimate complaint, and we should complain that we don't hear the gospels. But there is an alarming aspect to that. When you hear the message of the gospels, the truth of the message of the gospel, and the everlasting message of the holy gospels, and you do nothing about it, and there is no repentance, and there is no regret, there is no conviction, then there is a judgment awaiting us. So stop and look and think. Where do you stand in the Gospels? Are you utilizing, putting on the complete armor of God? God does not send us in a battle without equipping us. The government will not send its troops into battle unless they are protected from the air and from the ground. God does not allow us to also enter this spiritual battle without equipping us from the air, on the ground, everlastingly. Praise and glory be to his holy name, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.